must and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
This morning, the gospel text comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of God's word today. John chapter 20, beginning at verse 19, in Jesus' name. So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side, and the disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained." But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were saying to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the imprints of the nails and put my fingers into the place of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." After 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them, and Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst, and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach here with your finger, and see my hand, and reach here with your hand, and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they who did not see and yet believe. Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these that have been written, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." Let us pray. Lord, today just open up this portion of scripture. Lord, we do cry out and ask, Lord, that your spirit descend upon us today. As your spirit descended upon the disciples in that room, Lord, may it descend upon us. And may that fire be started within each of us. Even if it's just a spark, Lord, that it may grow because of you. In thy name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You notice by the bulletin, I titled my message, "The Cure for Doubt." The Easter story is nothing but a myth, Tom's high school teacher announced to the class the week before Easter. He continued. He said, not only did Jesus not rise up from the grave, but there is no God in heaven who would allow his son to be crucified in the first place. Sir, I protest. Tom said, "I believe in God, and I also believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ." "Tom, you can believe whatever you like, but the real world excludes the possibility of all miracles, like the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection is scientifically an impossibility. No one who believes in miracles can also respect science, the teacher said. The teacher then proposed an experiment with Tom. He reached into the refrigerator and he produced a raw egg. He held it up. "I'm going to drop this egg on the floor, class. Gravity will pull it to the floor, and the egg most certainly will break." Then the teacher looks at Tom with a challenge. "Now, Tom, I want you to pray right now and ask your God to keep this egg from breaking apart when it hits the floor. Now, if your God can do that, then you'll have proven your point, and I'll have to admit that there is a God." Tom pondered that challenge for a moment. And then Tom very slowly stood up from his desk and bowed his head to pray. Tom says, "Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that when my teacher drops that egg, that when that egg hits the floor, it splits apart into 100 pieces. Oh, and also, Lord, I pray that when that egg hits the floor, that my teacher will have a heart attack and die. Amen." Tom sat down. The class doesn't know what to do. They're just astonished. How could anybody pray such a prayer? For a moment, the teacher did nothing. At last, he looked at Tom, and then he looked back at the egg that was in his hand. Without a word, the teacher returned to the refrigerator, put the egg carefully back into the refrigerator, turned to the class and said, "Class dismissed." The teacher sat down at his desk. The teacher apparently believed in God more than he wanted to admit. Many people like that teacher, they deny that Christ exists. They deny that there is no God in heaven. They even run away from God. They even question God as to why things happen. And they even attack God whenever they get a chance. The teacher was not willing to bet his life that there was no God. So many people today doubt the existence of God. Many people doubt that there ever was a resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. On that very first Easter, many years ago, there was one disciple who refused to believe. That man had doubts. Today, as we study this portion of Scripture, we're going to see how Jesus heals this one man because of doubts. And Jesus wants to heal you today. On Easter night, that very first Easter night, the disciples gathered together in the room, hiding behind some of the gospel text, will tell you that it was behind locked doors. They were scared. They were terrified. Some of them had even seen Jesus alive earlier that day, but they were terrified because they were not sure what the Jewish leaders were going to do next. They were wondering, are we going to be arrested? Are we going to be accused of stealing the body of Jesus Christ and making up this story? Would anyone believe them if they if we tell the story that Jesus is risen. They were hiding from the Pharisees, from the Sadducees. They were hoping not to have a confrontation. And suddenly, Jesus was standing in their midst. Jesus spoke, "Peace be with you." Jesus always seemed to have the right words to say at the right time. What a more comforting thought than to have Jesus stand amongst you and say, "Peace be with you." No matter what you're going through, Jesus tells them they can have that peace in their heart. Peace that only He can give. He is there. They have nothing to fear, nothing to worry about. He will take care of all of their problems. Jesus shows them His hands, shows them the feet and His side to show them that He was not just a ghost, but that He was the same Jesus that had been crucified 3 days earlier. But there was a disciple that wasn't there. Thomas wasn't there. Oftentimes referred to as the doubting Thomas. So oftentimes, when we have doubts, when we don't want to go to God, we're oftentimes referred to as a doubting Thomas. But Thomas returned with the other disciples when they told him that Jesus had appeared to them. But what did Jesus, or what did Thomas tell those disciples before he ever met Jesus? He says, "Unless I see the marks of the nails in His hands and put my finger in the spot where the nails were, and I'm able to put my hand in that spot in the side where He was speared, I'm not going to believe." Now, how skeptical can you get? I'm not sure that we could ever get as skeptical or any more skeptical than doubting Thomas was. It's like he said, "I will not believe unless I have proof." Why does Thomas refuse to believe? Why? Because Thomas was a practical person living in a practical life, in a practical world. He was shattered on Good Friday because his dear friend, Jesus Christ, died. Now, no one in their right mind would believe that somebody could be raised from the dead. Because dead is dead, and Thomas was not going to succumb to a fairy tale. Because the Roman soldiers said he was dead. And the Roman soldiers would never, ever make a proclamation like that unless the prisoner was dead. Because the Romans were experts at killing people. It's not that Thomas didn't want to believe that Jesus was alive, but Thomas knew how the world worked. Thomas understood that when somebody was dead, they were dead in this world. Well, that's how many people see our Lord and Savior's resurrection in the world today. Nice idea, but it didn't really happen. Many people are set about proving that the resurrection of Jesus Christ was nothing but a spiritual resurrection, that the disciples stole the body and hid it. I look at it this way, that Jesus rose because He said He did. So many people that Jesus want to believe that He rose in a spiritual sense, that it was just His spirit, and that His spirit was doing all the leading. And they compare it a lot of times to how Abraham Lincoln's spirit lives on today and has an effect on America today. And that's what they try to say, that that's what's happening with Christ's resurrection. But so many disciples died at the hands of martyrs, as martyrs, because they would not deny the resurrection. Now, if the resurrection was not true, why would people die for it? No sane person would. There's no other event in history that has such a wide documentation than the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. And yet, as Christians today, we live in a sea of doubt. We're swimming in doubt. And because we're swimming in doubt, we allow doubt to seep in and take away and drown out our faith. Pretty soon, we're questioning things. How about you? Have you doubted? Have you ever struggled with doubt? Have you ever wondered about this whole business of Jesus Christ, the cross, and the resurrection, and trying to grasp it? Confirmation students usually get into this and ask a lot of questions about this. And it's always a time of prayer, a time of helping them understand it and accept it. Have you ever asked yourself, is my faith superstition? Or is it true faith? Have you ever wondered, is it that the only reason that I'm a Christian today is because my parents were Christians? Often we're afraid to face doubt. We're afraid of what others might think if we admit that we're doubting. We certainly don't want to go to the pastor's office and ask for prayer for it, because then the pastor's not going to think of us as a Christian person that's got everything pulled together. So we certainly can't admit it to the pastor. We certainly can't admit it to the other ladies in the ladies' group, because they'll gossip. We certainly can't admit it, you know, on a Sunday morning. What's the congregation going to think if I have, you know, I'm struggling with doubts? Well, our doubts aren't going to go away. They're always going to be there. They're kind of like cancer. Doubts just very slowly eat away at our faith. It just kind of happens so quietly, and we sometimes don't even know it. All of a sudden, our faith is dead. We've, over time, believed less and less in who Jesus Christ is. We become more and more skeptical. We become more and more like Thomas. How many of us have done that in our life, in our walk with Jesus? What can you do to get rid of that doubt? Well, nothing really. There's no cure in this world that will take away the doubts. I mean, they can find Noah's Ark. They might even think they have found the shroud that was wrapped around Jesus. Your friends and your family may come with the best arguments of why you should believe that there is a resurrection. But let me tell you one thing. Those things are not going to cure you of doubt. There's only one thing that can cure your doubt or my doubt. That one thing, what happened to Thomas, 1 week later, on that next Sunday, that first Sunday after Easter, the disciples were gathered together, Thomas was with them, the doors were locked, and suddenly Jesus stood amongst them and said, "Peace be to you. Peace be with you." Jesus said it again, the same thing he had told them the first time. But then Jesus doesn't focus on the other 10 disciples, but rather Jesus focuses on Thomas. He invites Thomas to come. "Put your fingers in the nail holes. Put your hand in my side." But Thomas, "I want you to touch the wounds that are healing, the wounds that are healing for all of mankind." But he says, "Thomas, you need to stop doubting. Thomas, you need to believe." This was the cure for Thomas's doubts. Thomas' response was, "My Lord and my God." Thomas believed. Thomas became a man of faith. He knew that everything in this world would never be able to tell him otherwise than that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. The only solution, the only way for you to get rid of that doubt that is in your heart today is to have moments with Jesus Christ. Just like Thomas did on that Sunday evening, "Now, wait a second," you might say to me. "How can this be? Jesus appeared to Thomas. How am I supposed to have a moment like that where Jesus appears to me? When does Jesus come to me? When does Jesus speak to me?" Like he spoke to Thomas that night. "When does Jesus come and chase the doubts away for me? When does Jesus transform you into someone who strongly believes just as Thomas did?" Well, today, Jesus comes to you through his word. Every time you hear his word, Jesus steps into your life. You know what Jesus says to you? He says, "Peace be with you." Four very simple words. But are you hearing? Are you listening? Jesus can come to us in an invisible way. Every time you receive the Lord's Supper, Jesus is right there. Through his body, his holy body and blood, he chases away those doubts. He fills you with faith, hope, and trust in him. Through his words, through the sacrament, that's how Jesus appears to you and I today. That's how he speaks to you and I. We cannot get rid of doubt by our own reasoning. It doesn't work that way. Turning to the Word of God to find that foothold that each of us need, to deal with the doubt of our faith. Maybe it's something like this next statement. "I need the Holy Spirit to change me." I need the Holy Spirit to fan into me the flames of faith. Are you ready to have that spark fanned by the Holy Spirit? Are you ready to let the Holy Spirit come in and transform you? Jesus said to Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed, but blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed. Jesus is talking about you today. You have not seen him with your own eyes as in a physical person. But you have believed. You have believed by having Jesus come to you in an invisible way through his word. God's word tells us to believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Stay close to the word of God. Take the Lord's Supper regularly and let Jesus Christ speak to you. Let Jesus Christ take away all of the doubts in your life. And let Jesus change you. Just as he changed Thomas. Amen. Lord, today again, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the blessedness of it touching, of it changing, and of it is moving us. Lord, we just thank you for your tenderness. Lord, you dealt with Thomas, and today you may have to deal with some of us. Lord, that if we are doubting, Lord, lead us.